The reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, and it's all about the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
When we read those words, I was just pondering as I was listening. Because we already know the story, right? We are reading them after they've happened. But why don't you put yourself in Mary's shoes? How will it feel receiving such a strange message from an angel and disrupting your normal life, you know, bringing you something you didn't bargain for? I don't know if we have the slide up. Right. So, but the thing is, we serve a God who always delivers on his promises. And like I mentioned last Sunday, he does so on time. So we can have complete confidence that God will keep his promises. And I know you know this, the promise could come the very next day, or it could come the next year or the next couple of years. But just like the wise man mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11, that he does all things in their time. Ecclesiastes 3:11, I read that for us. "He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the heart, in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning." So he does everything, and he makes everything beautiful in their time. And I believe God is never late, and he's never too early. Right, he's always right on time. You know, when the Lord appeared to Mary, it's a little bit slightly different from what Zacharias answered the angel. You know, when Zacharias was told that he will have a son, he doubted God's words. Maybe he was processing the whole thing from his human perspective, like people might do today. And he had doubts, which is quite understandable, you know, as a human. But the thing is, with God, anything is possible. The Bible says it, I believe it, and we all do. With God, everything is possible. Nothing shall be impossible. With our human minds, right, we might grapple with that a little bit, a virgin conceiving. How could this be? Or if God tells you that maybe when someone passed the childbearing age, even in 2023, that the person will conceive, we might find it very difficult. And I tell you, if Mary were to be given that such message in England in 2023, she would have made the headlines. No one would have believed her. No, even us in the church wouldn't have believed her, I tell you. We would have found it difficult. We might examine her to know if she's really okay. coming to the leaders, for example, telling them, "Oh, I'm going to have a child, and I don't know a man." We might think maybe she's gone nuts. Yeah. So, but anyway, if we are waiting on God's word for a request we've made, we need to remain patient, because with God, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were childless for many years, as we remember from our reading last time, and God crashed in and changed their hopeless situation, because in their day, you know, during their time to go childless, you know, could be that God has forsaken them, or they might have done something wrong. It's all their fault. And in some cultures, it's also the same today. You know, when someone goes without some physical blessing, you know, human, you know, we think that God blesses people when we see things. You know, I tell my children always that God's blessings are not to be seen as you have some houses, you have cars, you have children, you have no. Sometimes people might be without these things and they are really blessed of God. Blessings of God is different from how we humans look at blessings, or how we gauge the blessings of God around people. I would like us today, as I was reflecting on the Christmas story, to sort of reflect on the visit of Mary to Elizabeth. And you remember this visit, which happened in between our passage today and the Magnificat. We see the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel crashed in and announced to Mary, where we read in Luke 1, 26 to 33. And then Mary's song, the Magnificat, in Luke 1, 46 to 53. I'd like us to sort of reflect on that visit that Mary made. An angel of God, the archangel Gabriel, appeared to her and brought her this message. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Angel of God, each time the angel Gabriel appeared, he always, you know, brings with him important messages from God. And we read from Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, 500 years earlier before this, that the Lord sent the same angel to Daniel to bring an important message. Daniel chapter 9. While I was speaking, reading from verse 20, and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy heal. While I was in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in my earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, "Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding." Each time this angel appeared, he always brought with him very important message from God. We might not receive a visit from Gabriel, but I tell you, these days, an angel could come in jean or in chinos. An angel could come in African color. An angel could come with British accent or Nigerian accent like mine. An angel could come. Yeah, God might send people we least expect to bless us, to bring us some comfort, to some message from God. And that's why I never underestimate anyone God brings my way. I never. There are people God has brought my way, maybe for a season, maybe for a time, or for a longer time. But God always sends his angel. Sometimes in answer to our prayers or the silent wishes we've made in our minds and our hearts. And God will send someone across to bring us a message. The angel of God appeared to a virgin. A virgin. And sometimes we may feel that our inability or our lack of experience or education will make us unlikely candidates for God's service. People do this, you know, when we consider where we've come from or we are not highly placed like some people. The Lord appeared to a virgin, inexperienced young girl, probably in her 12 or 13. She might be 12 or 13 at that time, but definitely a teenager. The Lord appeared to her, inexperienced, without any exposure, without any experience, any education. Unlike these days when you apply for jobs, they will ask you for 5 years experience. I always ask them, where did I get it from if I've just come from uni? Anyway, I may have had some work experiences and all that, but without any experience, to a virgin. The thing is, don't limit God. Say that with me. Don't limit God. We are not supposed to limit God. He can do everything. Young Mary, poor, female at that time, female, to be a female, right? At that time, for the Lord to choose not a man, but a woman, a dear young lady, inexperienced. No wonder she went on this conversation with the angel. How could this be? Seeing I'm only a virgin, she was confused. Questions upon questions running through her mind, I believe. But unlike Zacharias, she believed God's word. You know, Zacharias asked for a sign, but Mary didn't ask for a sign, but she was given one. Yeah? She didn't ask for any sign, but she was given a clue. And that word from the angel, she hung on to it. Listen, Elizabeth, your relative, is already pregnant. She knew Elizabeth, right? She knew her age. She knew that, oh, for this thing to happen to this lady, that means this is serious. This is something I should take very serious. I know Elizabeth. I know what she's been through. I know she had no child. And for this angel to tell me this, that means I should go check this thing out. And so she traveled 100 miles from her little village to Elizabeth's town, which we know is Enkerim, a little village also at the outskirts of Nazareth. And we are told it's a very dangerous, rough road. And it's uphill, by the way. And she was traveling, and the place was full of bandits and criminals. Anyway, without going into details, some people believe she might have gone with Joseph. But by the time she now went to Elizabeth's house, Joseph was somewhere else waiting for her. You know why I believe that? Because Joseph was at that time placed to be married with her. So if I were Joseph, I wouldn't let her do this dangerous journey. All right? It makes sense to believe that she has gone with Joseph. And Joseph now let her go the last lap of the journey. But anyway, she believed the word of the Lord. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Rejoice, favored. How could I receive such message when confusion? I am in such confusion, favored of the Lord. I don't know if sometimes the Lord has brought you some message which is contrary to your present state, right? The Lord says, I am the Lord, I healed thee, but I'm still sick. The Lord says, I will open a door for you. The doors are still shut. I don't know if you've been in such, that was what I believe Mary was processing at that time, favored of the Lord. Why am I favored when I am confused, when you're bringing me something that has not happened since the creation of the earth, and you said I'm favored? You know, sometimes God's favor does not excuse us from the challenges of life. All right? We might be, yes, highly favored. Yes. Yeah. God has blessed us. Yes. God has chosen us. Yes. But we are still living on this planet. So we'll go through sickness like every other person. We'll go through every other thing that people go through. But when God is with us, His peace will always be with us. That assurance that He is with us. Now, why did Mary make this journey? Why did she make this journey? I believe that she made this journey so that she could receive some comfort and some moral support. Because this message could change, of course it did change her world. People are going to alienate her. People are going to assimilate her. That is sure. How could I face my parents, coming to my parents at 12 or 13, telling them, Dad, Mom, I think I'm pregnant. If I were her dad, I wonder what I would do. Mom, Dad, I think I'm pregnant. You're what? Imagine what would have happened. Who would believe her? The villagers, you know, going around the village. Oh, look, that girl that says she's pregnant of the Holy Ghost. And there were more called. I mean, and again, in Mark 2, chapter 1, verse 19, Joseph was, as a righteous person, all right, he was silently, you know, thinking about divorcing her quietly, you know, without any problems, you know, just got to privately tell her, I think I have to break up with you because I don't understand this, you know. But an angel of the Lord appeared again. You see the role of angels in this story, right? Angels of the Lord, angel of the Lord appearing and assuring him that, don't worry, your wife is pregnant, your would-be wife, because she's pregnant, your fiancé is pregnant, and of the Holy Spirit, all right? Mary was very lonely, but I believe one of the things that she wanted to do was to at least find someone that could believe her. I was in that position some time ago in my life, many years ago, when the Lord called me. A young accountant. Everyone believed that he is going to work in the top bank in Nigeria. But coming one day in 1998, telling my parents, I think God has called me. They looked at me. What? God has called you? To do what? To be a full-time priest. All right, well, think about it. And it didn't go down well with my parents and my family at that time. And for 3 solid years, the relationship was sour. For 3 solid years. No one believed me because no one before then in my whole clan, in my whole family, had ever put themselves forward to be a full-time pastor or priest. So where did you get that from? But the Lord called me. And I was sure he did. He called me. But who will believe me? So I believe that Mary was just looking for someone that at last believe her. And who would believe her but the person that the angel had already announced that she was already pregnant, and she ran away and went to Elizabeth. You will give birth to a son, and his name shall be called what? Jesus. Because he will save his people. Jesus is just a variant of Joshua, because Joshua saved his people to the promised land. He saved them from physical captivity, the same way Jesus will save us from sin and take us to eternal life. The Lord gave him the name Jesus, which in Greek is, and in Hebrew is Joshua, but he is Jesus Christ. You know, I always tell my children, Christ is not his last name. Christ is his duty, his role, his calling. Jesus the Christ, Christus, the anointed one, the Messiah. That is who he is. So Mary, I believe, made this journey to be able to receive some support from Elizabeth, a very experienced lady, probably in her 70s, maybe 80s, I don't know. But she was definitely very old. And a young lady going through all this, if this angel had appeared to her, maybe there is something that she will teach me and I will learn from her. I also believe that she made this journey to confirm what she had heard, all right? And that will go strengthening her faith. Because think about it. She might have thought, maybe this is all I'm dreaming. I just need to wake up from this dream. And so making this journey will be a sort of confirmation. Am I really dreaming or am I awake? And, you know, the Lord had already gone ahead of her and revealed to Elizabeth about Mary. At last, someone believed her story, right? And, you know, through my own life and then reading about people who have been leaders and who have done things for the Lord, I come to believe that sometimes your greatest mystery will often become your greatest ministry. There are people God has called today in a financial ministry because they went through, you know, things in their life. Financially, they struggled. Maybe someone struggled with childbearing. And so now the Lord uses her or him to kind of minister to others, comfort others, encourage others who are going through the same thing. Maybe someone who, as a child, suffered and had some sickness and diseases and was sickly. The Lord uses them now to minister to people. But sometimes what we go through, God uses what we go through to give us a ministry. And remember, what we are called to do is the ministry that God had given us. So like Mary today, what has God given you as your story? All right? What is it that you are grappling with? What is it that is very hard for you to process, even to believe about yourself, let alone people believe in you? Give it all to God, and God will use them to actually make a change. But the thing is, as the scripture said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Everything is possible with God. Do you believe that? We do. We seriously believe that with God, everything is possible. The visit of Mary, the confirmation from Elizabeth, and when she greeted her, we remember the story, the baby in Elizabeth's womb was greeting, making a connection. There was a divine connection. And she goes saying, "You are blessed of all women," confirming what the angel had already informed Mary. And I believe Mary at that time would have been nodding her head, saying, "Yes, now finally, someone is believing my story." I am praying that the Lord will use our story, will use our history, will use what we go through to produce great ministries around us. And I am praying, just like the angel appeared to Mary, that this Christmas, that the message of God through us, through whatever angel we appear to people, it's not just about sales, about commercial things. It's not all about Christmas cards, which is very good, but it's about people receiving the reason behind the season. And as I am praying that that will be a connection, that the Lord will reveal himself to people and that they will come to receive this person whom we are celebrating. I want us to pray for ourselves and pray that the Lord will use whatever story that we have, whatever thing that we are going through, whatever hard stories that we have, we think we have, that the Lord will use them for His own glory. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We believe You, Lord, that with You all things are possible. We know, Lord, that You answer us sometimes in different ways, and sometimes, Lord, Your answer comes differently than what we expect them to be. But we know You will answer us because that's what Your word says. We believe You, Lord. Yes, Lord, sometimes when we are sick physically in our body, we read Your word that says You are the Lord that heals us of all our infirmities. But yet, we are still struggling. And sometimes when You say to us, You are opening doors of blessings on us, but sometimes there seem to be closed doors everywhere. But gracious Lord, we pray that You will help us to walk in us, to produce patience, to be able to believe You to the end, to be able to receive what You have promised us. Heavenly Father, we are praying just like Mary. Maybe we are confused about something in our lives. Maybe right now there are some things that we are not sure about. Lord, we ask that You will send people, experienced people like Elizabeth, our way. There will be some sort of moral support and even confirmation of what You already brought to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that You will open that door on us, Lord, and that You will take away every reproach, every ridicule, and that we will stand strong on Your word. We thank You, for we know Your blessings, O Lord. It brings promotion, and it has no sorrow with it. And so, gracious Lord, we pray that there be no sorrow upon us, Lord. And we pray for ourselves. We pray for our relatives. We pray, O Lord, for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. Heavenly Father, we pray that You will visit all of us, Lord, and bring Your message of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Emmanuel, God with us. We thank You for Your word, and we believe You. Help us, Lord, to keep on believing You, to the glory of Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.